Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. Let's raise up my chair a little bit here. By God, it is May 26, 2025. Happy Memorial Day to everyone. This is your WWE Raw post show brought to you by BetOnline at NordVPN.com/Fightful. And always, FightfulSelect.com. We are going to have a busy week over there. I'll tell you about that. I'll get those plugs in as they arrive. We had WWE Monday Night Raw tonight. We had Money in the Bank qualifiers. We had a spoiler that was given away on this show that we will also talk about. We had the return of Liv Morgan. We had CM Punk popping up at the end. We had some follow-up on Bronson Reed. Quite a bit of stuff happening on this show. Had an insane opening match as well. Just an insane match that, wow. What a good, fun weekend of wrestling. I shared my thoughts on NXT Battleground on the Fightful Select Report podcast, along with my Q&A show. Make sure you guys check that one out. But we had Saturday night's main event. We had NXT Battleground. We had AEW Double or Nothing. We had plenty of reviews of all those. AEW Double or Nothing, an all-timer for AEW. They're really on the right track, it would appear. But tonight's Raw, I really enjoyed tonight's Raw. I had a good time watching this. I thought they accomplished quite a bit there. And yeah, I want to ask you guys, drop your fruit emojis here. Leave a thumbs up on this video. I know that by now you've heard me say it so many times that you probably are just like, oh yeah, that doesn't matter. Let me tell you, it matters. I cannot begin to tell you how much it matters. It matters a lot. It lets the YouTube algorithm that is already unfavorable to us let the world know that you want to see this type of content. Please get your super chats and humper chats in. You can do that here at YouTube or humperchats.com to get your questions or statements read on the air. Our great moderator, Luis, is handling those as well. But let's talk about the opening promo, which started with I loved some of the production adjustments on this show. The entrance, I liked it. Minimalistic. Like, why do you need a big, giant video screen anymore anyway? They don't show the matches on it. I think sometimes at AEW they do, but usually they don't. And almost all these arenas have a drop-down video scoreboard and video screens in the corners and all that stuff. The reason you need a video screen more than anything today is to prompt people on whose music is playing, because most people don't know because these themes are so ass. So I liked the entrance. There was also a shot of Liv and Kyrie backstage, and it wasn't in this dark, cavernous hallway that was really confined. It looked so much more bright and natural, and I'm glad that they're finally switching that up. Like, what do we think that they just had the lights off all the time backstage when they're doing these? So I'm digging that as well. Big fan of some of the production adjustments along the way. I'll tell you what else I'm a fan of. Fightful Select scoops getting confirmed before they actually happen. You might say, Sean, what on earth are you talking about? So last week we had a follow-up on FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business, on the WWE AAA situation. And we said we aren't sure if Alberto will be signed, if he'll be brought over, anything like that. But WWE has not been keen on working with Alberto Del Rio for a number of years. It's just not been a thing that they're interested in. Contrary to what he has claimed to people, it just hasn't been a thing they've been interested in. But AAA has put a lot into Alberto Del Rio. And listen, AAA isn't even my beat. It's not a thing that I cover on a weekly, monthly basis even. Cover some of the big shows and try to keep up with what I can, but it's been hard to ignore that Alberto Del Rio on this run since August has been like the center of the world for this company. And WWE posted a graphic for their upcoming Worlds Collide show about Hijo del Vikingo, who is facing Alberto Del Rio for that title at the upcoming tapings, and advertise it as the AAA Mega Championship match. So they didn't even hesitate. Don't know if it was an error. I'm working to find out. Don't know if they just didn't even care. Didn't even care and just promoted it ahead of time. So unless they pull some kind of big swerve to then throw off everybody again, they kind of gave it away, which, first off, good. It's abundantly clear that Vikingo is a guy that they want to build this relationship around. That's something that we posted in our story. Not a big surprise there. And Chad Gable's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Now, completely separate to this El Grande Americano stuff, like, he's going to go out there and he is going to have an insane match with Vikingo. I know they will. It'll be unbelievable. Can't wait to see it. But as Luis is highlighting right now in the notes, they built a whole authority faction around him with Dorian and Conan. They spent a year building that faction around him just for it to fall apart. Listen, man, I know that a lot of people, and I'm not going to sit here and say that WWE is never going to work with Del Rio or El Patron or whatever the hell he's going to be called. But I've developed some good contacts within that company, and every time, it was like the yearly thing. It was like the yearly joke. Del Rio would say, oh yeah, I'm talking with him about doing stuff. That might be in the Rumble. And they're like, there's no effing chance. I don't drop F-bombs on this show anymore. But they do in their comments to me about it. Vince didn't want anything to do with Del Rio. Imagine what you got when Vince doesn't want to do business with you. Damn. But yeah, that got spoiled. Also, Luisa, shout out to El Macias, who is the former Mil Muertes, says he has killed it in his role over there. Will reach 200 days as Latin American champion. Latin lover has been entertaining on the storyline. Please, by the way, support our Espanol pursuits here. Fightful Espanol on Twitter. We have Fightful Espanol on Select. Luis will be building out the Instagram and Facebook pages, I believe, imminently. Luis has his Fightful email now, so we're going to get those up and going over probably the next week, and you'll see a lot of the same comments there or content there. Rocky Romero was like, bro, you got to get on Instagram and Facebook over there. But obviously, I am not leading the charge on a lot of that coverage of AAA. I'm not going to pretend it's my beat. I am still learning an awful lot, but I'm getting some help from some people. And Luis is one of those people that's really going to help me along the way. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Let's talk about this WWE Raw that I thought was pretty good. You had a Paul Heyman promo followed by a Seth Rollins promo that really set up Seth Rollins saying that he was going to be at Money in the Bank. He was going to win Money in the Bank, and he was going to cash in and win. Paul Heyman putting over Bron Breakker, putting over Bronson Reed. Now, a thing that we had reported on FightfulSelect.com a couple weeks ago, as of WrestleMania week, there were not plans to add a third person to this. So I'm interested to learn when this came together, but I'm just ecstatic to see Bronson Reed back. I'm just very, very happy to see that. And I'm good with them adding this as well. Now, I want to hear Bronson Reed, as Parker Hines says, did they explain why Bronson Reed joined Seth? I think we will hear it. That will be the eventual thing. And if I'm WWE, what I'm saying is that Seth approached Bronson Reed and said, buddy, it's Money in the Bank season. I've got a qualifier, and if you help me win, and if you help me win the title, I will make sure you get a shot, etc. Fine promo. It's okay. We'll talk about that later on. But let's talk about this opening match. Now, of course, it featured interference. It's a WWE match, so of course it did. But K775 says, hopefully we see more Dragon Lee, but I'm not hopeful. And Masp says, that opening match was amazing. Dragon Lee needs to be on TV weekly. He was incredible. He killed it. Chad Gable killed it. Penta almost killed Chad Gable. There was a horrifying botch. I don't know. I think Penta had Dragon Lee set up in the gory special, or maybe it was the gory bomb. And then he tried to double underhook Spike Chad Gable, and Gable's face just went right into the mat. It was gross. Fortunately, Gable ended up okay, and because he's a pro, slid right outside to help out and catch Penta. Horrifying spot, but fortunately he seemed okay. By the way, Gable looks incredible. How good does he look, man? He is in the most insane shape I have seen. I can't remember the last time I saw a wrestler like in that type of condition that, you know, is show and go. Like, he looks the part. He can do it. He'd be able to wrestle as long as you would want him to there as well. Phenomenal spot in this match. Gable and Penta are ringside, and Dragon Lee just flies out of nowhere. And you got Pat McAfee screaming, holy shit. And appropriately so. That's a situation where I don't believe he was doing that for show. I think that he legitimately was like, oh, holy shit. Because Dragon Lee was getting it through there. So last night we saw the Mark Briscoe entrance with the flip. I gotta say, Dragon Lee, I feel like one-upped him in that one. This is good stuff. This is really good stuff. Gable, listen, he said, sorry, Penta, gonna have to show you how it's done, buddy. And did the suplex on both guys. Now, if you're gonna have interference, I understand, because there's a reason to here, but There were some issues I had with the production of tonight's show. I'm going to tell you about it on the other side of this break. Let's hear from NordVPN. If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful. So before I heap some more praise on Gable, Penta, Dragon Lee for the incredible match that they did, there are some tendencies and issues that I had. There were some production issues, but it's more of how they set up the show. Tonight, they had multiple triple threat qualifiers and then a triple threat tag team title match. And I'm like, a little much there, yeah? And I know it's no DQ, all that, and it's like Triple H just rubbing his hands. He's excited. He's looking like Birdman. He's like, can't do a DQ if it's triple threat. So you know there's going to be interference. You know Liv and Kyrie is going to end up with a distraction. You know that even though you already have the crutch of three participants, you've got to get other people involved. And I'm just like, oh, has he lost his fastball? That's what I'm wondering. I hope not. But it feels like Triple H has lost his fastball a little bit and is leaning on this. So we see Chad Gable not like crack Vikingo. And it just makes Chad Gable look dumb. It makes him look ridiculous that in the middle of his match where he could go and qualify for Money in the Bank, he's worried about Vikingo. And of course, Vikingo gets involved and costs him the match after a phenomenal match.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Vikingo then confronted Gable backstage, tells him to keep that same energy on Worlds Collide. AJ Styles then punched Gable, told him to keep his nose out of his business. So Gable's just pissing off everybody. Gable is fighting everybody at this stage. No El Grande Americano on this show. That's interesting. Not really. But what a phenomenal match. So good. After Double or Nothing, they had to bring something for this show in the terms of match quality. If they had a match like this every week on Raw, man, sign me up. New Day ended up defeating American Maid and the War Raiders. The crowd was not into this as I would have liked, but the work was good. I thought the work in this was pretty solid. Do I know if Dragon Lee re-signed? I do not. I will ask. But I feel like this would have been better served on a show that didn't have two other triple threat matches and then following that insane triple threat match that they just had. But still, good match. Hard for these six to have a bad one, right? Like, I don't sit there and expect these three teams to go out there and have a stinker. I'm always impressed with Brutus and Julius. Eric and Ivar like continue to do stuff that they shouldn't be able to physically do. They had the Burt Kreischer segment backstage was dumb. Whatever. I'm sincerely concerned with how red that man is. Like very, very concerned. Like I'm not concerned trolling here. Like this is worried about the dude. Don't think he should be taking chops. But New Day ends up getting the win as Kofi holds the tights of, I believe, one of the Creeds. So this tag team division needs help. Very badly needs help. And I'm interested, chat, what do you all want? What do you all want to see to reinvigorate this tag team division? It's just like, it's, there's no care given to it. I would care about it if they cared about it. I see a good idea right out of the gate, and we can cover that match. Miro immediately crushed. Immediately crushed Tozawa. Wasn't even close. And then he goes to beat him down some more, and Sheamus comes out there, and they have a little face-off. Those two beating the snot out of each other and then teaming, I'd be all for that. I don't know where Miro fits on this WWE Raw show on his own. Braun and Bronson doing stuff together more. Braun and Bronson versus Miro and Sheamus is some meat slapping. A lot of the super workers, I mean, listen, they got a bunch. I say super workers, look at these three teams. It's the War Raiders, the Creeds, and New Day. They're all great. SmackDown has a lot of teams. Ray and Dragon Lee would be a great addition as well. So yeah, I'd go Ray and Dragon Lee, Miro and Sheamus, and then probably Braun and Bronson. Add those three teams, and I think you got a good one. Plus, you got Judgment Day as well. And you're effectively cured. You know what I mean? Where's Ludwig Kaiser been? What's he doing these days? He just chilling? I think he was on Main Event earlier this month, and I haven't seen him since. He hasn't done anything on WWE TV in like 2 months. I know we can't say benched because he's on Main Event. That guy's been benched from WWE Raw. Yeah, LWO are on there as well. So like they are a couple of movements away from having a really, really good tag team division. It's just they, at the top heavy element that they are right now, they have already burned quite a bit of that, right? Backstage at the clubhouse, by God. Liv Morgan's back. She says, Konnichiwa, bitches. Fightful Select, ya boys. At FightfulSelect.com. Reported last week that Liv had finished up, actually about a week and a half ago, that she finished up her filming. Her wrap date was May 16th. She came back May 17th, but they gave her off that night. And then last night on Fightful Select, we reported she's coming back today. And today we reported on the free tier, we do have a free tier, that she was at the show. So a lot went into this. This was very heavily factored into Liv and her absence from this show. And I thought that they played it off very well. She's like, Dom, what's up? And he's like, oh, you know, with the time difference and the alleged nuggies. It's like, okay. Finn is playing messy uncle over there. He's like, yeah, I love it. I love it. But Raquel's like, don't worry. I've been keeping her up to date with everything. So you don't know what exactly is up with Dom and Liv right now. But backstage, Liv and Raquel, they're on the hunt for Adam Pearce. And again, from Carlito to Finn Balor to even Dominic, Roxanne, everybody's facial expressions and the way that they're selling this stuff works out really, really well. It's very good. They run into Kairi Sane and Io Sky backstage. And Liv says she's going to get herself a qualifier and go to Money in the Bank, unlike Kyrie. Kyrie's like, you know what? Let's have a match tonight. I really like that they just let the Japanese talent speak a little English here. Doesn't need to say a lot. Me, you, match. And Liv said, yeah, okay. KE775 says, hopefully Kyrie can build this off this win over Liv. Wasn't like a great one or anything. This one wasn't for me. Crowd took me out of it. Crowd took me out of it because there was that code breaker off the second rope, and Kyrie, I thought, got her shoulder up in time. I don't know about you all. What did you think? But I thought she got her shoulder up in time. But the crowd were like, crowd is like, ref, you suck. Ref, you suck. And I'm like, she got up, man. She kicked out. Look at Demon Diva spamming my chat. Carlito wrestling in WWC Puerto Rico this Saturday. Is that paid promotion right there, Demon Diva? Is that what that is? I stopped by your stream earlier. I sang Waka Flocka. But this one, I felt like lost a lot of momentum because the crowd sort of hijacked it a little bit with that. And I didn't think that was fair to the women. They had the oblivion spot, and then there was a pin that didn't hit at all either. There was a pin transition, and Jessica Carr tried to make it work and got her hand underneath there. It was just a little bit messy. And then we go into the distraction finish, because, of course, what you need after the audience, it wasn't the performers. It was on the audience that missed one. Then the performers missed one on the pin. Then you go into a distraction, so then the bookers get in on it, right? The bookers are like, how can we cut the legs off this even more? Kyrie getting the win is, yeah, I feel like she needed that. It's pretty clear last week, Zoe Stark, who, again, sending our best wishes to Zoe Stark, healing up from that injury. It was clear she was supposed to take the pin, but Kyrie had to. So you got to get her heat back a little bit. And with Liv, they'll just give her beat back by either one, putting her in a tag title match, or two, putting her in the Money in the Bank qualifier and her winning that. Because that's what they'll do right after she's lost. They love doing that, right? Anybody who wins Money in the Bank is somebody who loses a bunch before and after. At least that was the Vince method. But this was Raquel and Roxanne arguing ringside, and leading to a bit of a distraction that led to Kyrie winning. Do love Kyrie's spinning back fist. I have missed that an awful lot. She throws that phenomenally. I say phenomenal too much. So, backstage, Raquel, Liv, and Roxanne are talking it out, and a wrinkle that I didn't see coming. Liv was like, Raquel, you're the veteran. She's the rookie. This is on you. You should have known better. And I'm like, okay. All right, what are we seeing here? Because as I see the wheels in motion here, of course, Finn Balor had his match later on. They've gotten me interested in the path of Judgment Day again. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with Carlito. Finn loses a lot these days, but Finn and JD are a really good tag team. Really great tag team. Dominic should go babyface. The audience is ready for Dominic to be a babyface. They want to love him so much. And I think if you want to love a performer, ooh, you gotta capitalize on that. WWE used to be so bad at making babyfaces, though, that I understand, like, for a long time they would hesitate and they would pull back on it. You didn't have any choice but to cheer for the heels because they always won. They got all the heat. Babyfaces always looked dumb, but now it's a lot different. Dominic has made something out of almost nothing by the way of positives, and he's become a really good, fun performer. He's entertaining. He's funny. They want to like him. But I'm sitting here saying, does Liv go with him? Is this sort of his redemption? It's like, yeah, he was bad to Rhea, but was Rhea bad to him too? And now is he going to pass up on Roxanne for Liv? And then later on, he finds Rhea and he goes, I'm sorry. Accountability is a big babyface thing. You'll hear me say that a lot. John Cena will apologize too, but you're gonna see if for some reason Liv goes babyface with Dominic, it'll be like, we got something to say to you. And it'll just be them apologizing. And they'll do it in front of the camera because they should do it in front of the camera after what they did, right? Now, if this were really deep, this would affect Rhea, who we saw have a promo, a vignette. And Rhea lets go of that. Now, it doesn't usually get that deep on WWE TV, unfortunately. But there are so many ways that you can go. There are elements of depth. There are onion layers here. But Jay Girls, I think that Dominic and Liv apologize before Roman. And somebody says, yeah, listen, that pay-per-view was phenomenal last night. And what you're hearing now is me trying to rationalize in fantasy book them doing a deep story on WWE TV. Now, listen, people are saying, did Rhea ever apologize? Listen, come on now. Rhea being with Dom was apology enough. Let's be real here. That was sorry enough. What are you asking for here? David Foster says, they're losing their momentum with Io, the only champ on either brand with no title defenses since Mania. Do you know if anything is coming soon? Well, I mean, she was there at the show, obviously. But it seems like they're not... Okay, I just want to say this. Not... reporting, just a hunch. Like maybe they're not doing anything for Money in the Bank because they got the two Money in the Bank matches. They got the tag match. They got Becky and Lyra. They'll probably add like one more thing, right? Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to... I got an email. Oh, interesting. So, the graphic showing the Hijo del Vikingo Chad Gable match, which included the AAA Mega Championship, was geolocated on the Raw broadcast on Netflix in Mexico. It did show on the international versions, though. Interesting. Interesting. So, what that means is, it didn't show the AAA championship thing in Mexico, but it did here in the States. They don't even want y'all thinking that Del Rio holds the title now. At least in Mexico, like, listen, they know. They don't want you even thinking that Del Rio is involved with the company. Damn. Listen, man, across regimes, multiple regimes, one constant was we ain't dealing with Del Rio. Y'all want to pull Luis, my good friend. Luis, do you want to pull up some of the historic Del Rio statements that I've gotten from WWE? And put them in our Slack chat for me to post. If you're able to find them. AAA does not air in the USA besides YouTube. Listen, there's going to be an adjustment and all that stuff. Luis is going to get it. I appreciate that. While we do that, we'll talk a little bit more about AAA on the other side of this break from BetOnline.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling?
Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
So, AAA, WWE, we had an update on that story. Actually, Select Espanol broke that story. So if you speak Spanish, we do have Select Espanol, of which Luis translates the stories. And we had mentioned, listen, there is some power adjustment there. There is certainly a balance of power that's going a little bit. But we got somebody in the chat. We got somebody in the chat asking if there's anybody specifically involved with AAA WWE should hang on to. He doesn't have a contract, but Sam Adonis, from a liaison standpoint, I think he'd be a very good fit for whatever it is that WWE is going to do. You can think about what you want of him as a performer and all that stuff, but he's familiar with Mexico. He's familiar with the United States. His brother is Corey Graves. I think from a liaison standpoint, he would be very good to have. Yeah, here's one of them. Higher ups say there's no effing chance Alberto Del Rio is coming back to WWE. That one was in 2023. More on WWE's lack of interest in Alberto Del Rio. That one was 2022. I believe there was one where they had told me there's no effing way that happens as well. It's been three times, WWE has, a rep standpoint, have told me that. They're avoiding the Del Rio landmine to make room for the Tessa Blanchard signing later on. Now, this isn't a super chat. If they wanted her, they just would have signed her. They had 5 years to sign her. There's no effing way that happens. That was 2021. Yeah, it was like three straight years. And the only reason it didn't happen in 2024 is because he had a job. He had a job in AAA. He wasn't angling for that anymore. Lyra and Becky. They want to talk about husbands. KE775 says Becky finally beats Lyra at Money in the Bank, or Bailey returns, sets up her and Becky at Evolution in July. I am going for the latter, KE775. This promo, I was like, I don't always like it when you always got to bring up, oh, well, guess what? You're married to this person. And then Lyra Becky was probably holding back on some of those promos, but she was like, your husband is the only talented thing about you. And I'm like, well, that's not true whatsoever. You're both incredibly talented women. Why can't we get along here? Why can't we get along? Lyra's fiance, Catching Strays. Guys, he is one of the most booked wrestlers outside of WWE. He wrestles over 100 times a year. Over 100 times a year. So the match at Money in the Bank, Becky states, well, if you win, I can't challenge you again for that title. Dope stipulation. I love it. But if Becky wins, Lyra has to raise Becky's hand. So I want to see Becky like making her raise her hand a couple times. But I feel like bringing up the partners, I'm like, we don't. That happens so much with Seth and Becky, right? And it's like they are main eventers in their own right. In fact, the work that they did together was some of the worst work of their careers. Becky did call him weird looking. And listen, he did look geeky at that show. But he would tie everybody that said anything about him up in knots. He's very good. Wouldn't shock me to see WWE ID him. Wouldn't shock me to see it at all. He would absolutely eviscerate everyone. Top five LJ Cleary matches, Sean, go. King of the North when he finds you. That's what I would say. I would say he'd probably beat your ass. I'm just saying. I mean, he wrestles in Noah. Spends a lot of time over there. I ain't on the Noah beat, buddy. Ain't on that one. But I'm a big Anthony Green guy, and he teamed with him quite a bit. I enjoyed their 6 and 8 mans, if you must know. If you must know. Yeah, I think Bayley's coming back at Money in the Bank. I think that's the way to go. The Harry Potter of graps. I'm not a Harry Potter guy, man. My wife loves Harry Potter. What if he is really the King of the North? Then what? Well, maybe LJ Cleary's fucked. I don't know. Let's see. Luis says, Marissa Pena announced that La Parca, Laredo Kid, and Octagon Jr. will face Abismo Negro Jr. and Taurus, not Beast Mortos, and TBA, the Triple Mania, I can't pronounce that word, June 15th. Ain't even going to butcher it, buddy. Do you think Seth's group should have a name? Yeah, the Seth Riders. I got to stop giving you all those freebies. Get those super chats and get those humper chats in. Ryan says, after Double or Nothing, Mariah May not returning. Do you think she returns to AEW or is she WWE bound? I'll say the same thing that I've been saying. I would expect her contract is up July or August. That's when I suspect. I'll tell you why I suspect that. Because she said she was under contract by All In 2023. So that means by August 2023, she was under contract. Until she disappears from that AEW roster page, she is under contract. Before her contract is up, I expect AEW to make her a good offer to stay. I don't know if she will. Now, what I've been saying is if I were her, I would hang around and wait until you get an offer from WWE and see how that goes and compare them. But let's be honest here. Wrestlers do not need to wait until their deal is up to find out what WWE's offer is going to be. They find out. Sometimes vice versa as well. I don't know if I've heard of one explicitly. I know Tony Khan wanted Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens still stayed with WWE, but occasionally. Jey Uso and Gunther segment. One thing confused me about this segment. Jey Uso asked the crowd to not yeet, and then he kept pausing for the yeets. I was like, okay. And also another thing I didn't like about this segment was these big dumbass fans chanting what? I will complain about this every single time. What an absolute dweeb you have to be. An absolute dork you have to be to go to a wrestling show and chant what? Used to be about the cadence. Used to be about, you know, It was a little funny. Now they're just, it's just the crowd waiting to put themselves over. Of which, by the way, it is, it's so annoying to me that this WWE crowd is cheering John Cena. If you truly respected that man, you would get over yourself and you would boo him. But listen, I don't necessarily hate that they're cheering him now. I'm going to play devil's advocate for myself because this babyface run has sucked so bad that it doesn't deserve to get the appropriate reaction. But that being said, we are back in, this is how you can tell they're starting to get a little bit fed up with the booking because they're getting back into the put yourself over era. And King of the North mentions just pipe the booze in. So last year, I got buried on the internet from dummies that didn't know any better. Because when Dominic came out there, they were piping in booze. Not in the arena, over the broadcast. They had a blanket sound over the broadcast for years throughout the pandemic. It was a good idea to do it. But I had people say, no, I was at the venue and they didn't pipe in anything. Yeah, they did. How do I know? The producer who watches them do it told me. Confirmed it. Well, they're probably working. Yeah, that's something they would. Great. You figured it out. After 15 years of this. Oh, my God. Producer literally said it. Push for them not to. Dominic didn't need it. But now we're in the crowd was playing along for that. But you would hear him react to the ones in the venue, which were loud. But they would get drowned out by the ones that got piped in. It was, what the hell, man? The hell. So, the crowd not playing along here, chanting what at Gunther? And Gunther lays it out. He's like, man, listen, you are a good person. You're there for your friends. You follow the rules. You're an honorable dude, and you are a good person. But you can't be a good champion like that. I was like, oh, okay. That's a really great approach for this promo. I loved his promo. It was a great piece of business from a guy who speaks with authority on the subject. When Gunther talks about being a champion, you listen to Gunther talk about being a champion. Am I wrong? Like, Gunther held the UK title for how many days? He broke the record for the IC title. And then they had him win this. Now, I don't think he should have tapped out, as Jey Uso says, I'm going to tap you out again. If they have him tap out again, woof. But Gunther absolutely killed it in this promo. And again, he speaks with that experience of being a champion. I can't remember what percentage of time he said he had been a champion. He mentioned it, I want to say last week. But Gunther cannot tap out again. I honestly wouldn't hate him winning the title back. And I was in full favor of Jey Uso winning the Rumble, him winning at WrestleMania, in favor of that. Yeah. K775 says, based on last night's NXT results, do you think we'll see Jordynne Grace or JC Jane after Stephanie beats her tomorrow on main roster TV soon? I have been climbing to the tops of buildings and screaming that JC Jane should be on the main roster for years. Not only that, they should have kept Gigi Dolan and she should have been brought up with her. JC Jane has been ready for the main roster and their style since she and Gigi did a SmackDown match. And I saw and I was like, man, she just gets it. She just understands. So I, if she doesn't, I'm going to flip out. For the love of God, I'm going to flip out. I don't think Jordan Grace is going up. Not yet. Now, she's got a main roster deal, but they seem happy to just have your studio apartment in in Orlando and chill. WWE needs tag teams badly. They need women's depth. And those are two great pieces of depth. But, yeah, I hope JC Jane gets called up soon. Jordan, I don't think it's happening imminently. Seth Rollins is headed to Money in the Bank. He faced Sami Zayn and Finn Balor. Backstage, Sami Zayn was like, he sees Jey Uso, and Jay's like, don't worry, man, I got your back, which he did. But he also runs into Karrion Kross, who gets a great pop. Saw a lot of conspiracy theories about the coverage Karrion Kross has gotten, and I'm just going to give you the long and short of it. When one person clips something, everybody else aggregates it, and that's what happens. Because there's very little originality in wrestling aggregation media, and sometimes that extends to our Fightful accounts as well. We are certainly not exempt from trying to capitalize on that. And why the hell shouldn't we, with all the stuff that people take from us? But crowd popped for Karrion Kross, and Kross said, you could have taken the easy way out, and you didn't. You should have done it. I thought Sami and Kross was going to be the program heading into like Mania. I thought they were going to get a Mania match. Hey, maybe they'll build up for a full year to next year's Mania in Vegas, huh? Huh? You have to re-sign Kross, though. So Seth got insane distance on a frog splash during this match. Just incredible. Pretty good match. Sami paid homage to Sabu with the Arabian press and then points to the sky. I love a Blue Thunder Bomb all the time. All the time. But Seth ends up stomping Finn to win after some interference because his dudes get involved. Dominic gets involved, but it doesn't end up helping Finn Balor. Jay gets involved. And throughout all the skirmish, Seth Rollins wins and goes to Money in the Bank. And I am all for that. The greatest cash-in in Money in the Bank history, Seth Rollins being involved in this match, adds so much to it. You got Penta, LA Knight, Solo Sikoa. I like that. And over on the other side, Alexa Bliss, who had one. Rhea Ripley, who's one of the greatest women superstars in wrestling history at this point. Roxanne Perez, who is a favorite performer of mine. Julia, who is emerging. I think there's a lot of good mix here. Very interested in the last two participants for each one of these. But Seth Rollins, with Money in the Bank, like, was it 10 years? Has it been 10 years since it's been 10 years since he won the title, which is funny because they're talking about they're talking about him being the future of wrestling. And I'm like, well, God, he's been around for 13 years in WWE. But what does that say, right? What does that say about today's superstars? Steve Austin was around for four or five years. The Rock was around for 4 or 5 years. Mick Foley for, like, really 5 or 6 years. Triple H had a long run, but even then, Shawn Michaels at his prime, like the main one, like 8, 9 years. Bret Hart had a good long run. It was about 12 years, but like, this is not common that somebody is still doing. And I mean, they came in immediately as a top act. 13 years later, there's still fresh stuff for him. What does that say about the PC that Seth is still the future? Obafemi's looking pretty good. Braun Breaker's looking pretty good. They got some. They got some. When does Finn turn on Dom? Hopefully to set up something for SummerSlam. But like, Finn's losing a lot, right? Like, Finn is losing a ton. So what, he's supposed to keep losing and I'm supposed to go, Well, hell yeah, man. After he lost to Seth Rollins, to AJ Styles, Penta, he didn't beat Penta. Dominic beat him in the IC title match. Then Bron Breakker beat him in an IC title match in, was it March? I think Seth Rollins beat him then. Damian Priest beat him then. He ain't won a singles match all year. I'm going to see the last time he won a singles match, and they will have him lose his way up to an IC title match. You wait and see. You watch. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's been over a year since Finn Balor won a one-on-one match. Over a year. And that was Dragon Lee. Yikes. Okay, I think it's, yeah, it'll be over a year next week. Yikes. Since June 27th, 2023, he's won 2 one-on-one matches. And they're going to have him go through there and get an IC title match. Punk ran in and hit the GTS on Seth Rollins, by the way. This makes his win mean so much more when he does. He's, oh, go to hell. Go to hell. Losing my train of thought. CM Punk slides in, hits a GTS, gets out after Paul Heyman said that he wasn't there earlier in the night. So a nice surprise, too. They pulled the swerve there. Mike says Punk makes it in time to jump Seth after the match, but not in time to keep him from winning, getting so tired of 50% of WWE matches having run-ins. That's a very good point. Why didn't the dude just run in and cost him the match? Like, why didn't they just do that? That would have made an awful lot more sense, huh? Mr. Straightfire says, what would happen if Money in the Bank winner cashed in during the Cena Logan versus Jay Cody tag match? Five-way turns the tag into a no contest and becomes 1v1. I hope they explain this on the show. Because if you guys remember, last year we were asking that about the Crown Jewel match between Nia and whoever. And it's like, okay, but if Tiffany cashes in during that match, will she get to compete for both titles and the Crown Jewel Championship? I want to see that happen at some point. To me, that is a brilliant idea, and somebody immediately, bam, drips in gold. But hear me out. Hear me out. It turns into a triple threat tag match, but it's 2 versus 2 versus 1. Maybe? I don't know. No, none of that shit makes sense. None of it makes sense. Not a single bit of it. So I want them to make sense. Or they can say it is suspended. No, LOL. Yes, one of my worst ideas. It's truly one of my worst ideas. But, oh, it's so bad. No, you know who I'm booking like? WWE. That's so. I think they got to mention something. That, like, it's suspended for this. But, okay. I would imagine it just isn't going to main. Here's the easy way to avoid it. Have the tag match on before Money in the Bank. There you go. Got to do that. Charlie says, just here to say that Fightful was my stress relief during my doctoral program. Now I'm officially a doctor. Love your work, SRS. Charlie Escalante, PhD, hell yeah. Man, that makes me so happy. Listen, I dropped out of college with like one year left to start Fightful because I was like, well, this is the job I'm going to be after anyway. So more power to you. Guys, I don't know if you noticed, tried to keep the plugs to a minimum throughout the show, outside of some Fightful Select and all that stuff. But I'm going to try to save that for more strategic places. I don't want you guys to feel like you got to skip through the first part of the show, but I do want to tell you guys about some of the things we have on YouTube. Interviews with Gabe Kidd, Muhammad Hassan, Prince Nana, Daria Baronato, the former Sonya Deville, Steve Macklin, Kenzie Page. We have Remco, AWA, Matt Mania figure videos. The Good Brothers a few weeks ago. We are live every single night, except for some Sundays. But we are live like every damn night, guys. So I hope that you guys check us out, support us. The algorithm, again, is not favorable to us. So you guys supporting us, sharing the live stuff goes such a long way and means an awful lot to us. Please help us out on that, because listen, every algorithm doesn't favor us at this point. We have Fightful Select Espanol. We have TikTok. I am using Facebook now. Facebook.com/SeanRossSapp, in addition to our Fightful Facebook as well, but also Instagram. But Vin says, did TK bring going after him so aggressively on himself by taking previous shots at Khan, Triple H, and HBK? No, I don't think so, especially considering that the reason why Tony started to take shots like that were because they started to, contract tampering isn't a thing, but they started to dig into the contract status of an awful lot of the wrestlers, including Swerve. And that's what was going on. That's why I think when Vince left, there was a window to perhaps a possibility of WWE and AEW working together. Nick Khan is not interested in that. Nick Khan is very cutthroat. He is very calculated. Listen, this stuff is not an accident. One day I'll be able to elaborate, but this stuff is certainly not an accident. But guys, again, please leave a thumbs up on this video. I want to say thank you all so much. Share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Until next time, we're out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.